You are listening to WGXC ACRA, hands-on creative community radio at 90.7 FM and streaming live online at WGXC.org. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm.
Network, this is the news.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Phase 1 of the state's reopening plan began May 20th in Albany, Rensselaer, Greene, and Columbia counties, and all sorts of businesses locally are getting ready to resume operations. The Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie is showing movies again May 22nd with some regulations. Patrons must remain 6 feet apart with mask on when using the restroom or visiting the snack bar and are asked to only come one at a time. Staff will be wearing gloves. And the marijuana dispensaries in Western Massachusetts are also opening curbside sales to recreational customers May 25th. Not all businesses back open, though, and many have been closed for a long time. Greene County is estimating it will lose $1.4 million in sales tax, or 4.3% in a best-case scenario. The worst scenario for Greene County is a $4.4 million loss, or 13.4% of its potential sales tax. Columbia County estimates losing $1.5 million, or 3.6% of sales tax, but Columbia County could lose nearly 11% or $4.7 million in the worst-case scenario. On May 18th, Greene County legislator Michael Bulick, a Republican from Catskill, was the only member of the county's finance committee to vote against a resolution calling for Congress to provide all counties with direct, unrestricted federal aid distributed based upon population on May 8th. He said, and I quote, "We're going to put chains around our kids and grandkids to have to pay this back. Federal money is just borrowed money," end quote. Greene County reported two more cases May 20th, up to 252. Columbia County reported one less COVID-19 case on May 20th to 353, but one more death to 29. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. The Catskill Village Planning Board May 18th unanimously approved a site plan for a new Stewart shop to be located at the corner of West Main and West Bridge Streets. The site is currently home to Mountain T-shirts, but the Ballston Spa-based convenience store chain intends to build a new 4,000-square-foot structure with 4 gas pumps in its place. The public hearing on the project was held April 20th by teleconference, and more than 80 residents participated. Village President Vincent Seeley said the public hearing on the project was held April 20th by teleconference, and more than 80 residents participated. Residents were able to ask their questions over the phone or text their questions to a board member. He said, and I quote, "The original project was too modern for that area of the village. It was a peaked roof building. It just didn't fit. We had them change the entire building," end quote. The board requested some exterior lighting modifications, smaller signage, and a reduction in the number of gas pumps as well. Several state agencies have reviewed the proposal, including the State Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Transportation, and the Office of Historic Preservation. All determined the project would have no impact on the community. All determined the project had no impact on the community, McCullough said. Officials hope the project will be completed by September. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Rebecca Carbello is reporting for the Times Union. The Rensselaer County Sheriff's Office renewed its contract with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, allowing the county to continue to house detained immigrants in its jail. The renewal deadline was June 30th, but Sheriff Patrick Russo let the Rensselaer County Legislature know this week that he had already committed the county to continue the controversial program until June 2021. The legislature immediately forwarded Russo's memo to the New York Civil Liberties Union, which criticized the sheriff for renewing the contract during a pandemic. Melanie Trimble, director of Capital Region Chapter of the New York Civil Liberties Union, said, and I quote, "Doubling down and extending this agreement until June 2021 is a bad deal in the best of times and an unfathomable decision during a pandemic where community resources and public trust are critical. In 2 years since Sheriff Russo made this deal with ICE, it is difficult to see what the county has gained. But the drain on local resources, public safety, and immigrant families is multiplied by the current health crisis," end quote. She added, and I quote, "Sheriff Russo can rescind this agreement at any time, and he should do so immediately," end quote. Rensselaer County is the only county in New York that participates in the federal 287G program. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. The Columbia paper is reporting the Columbia Green Workforce New York office is accepting applications now for the Summer Youth Employment Program for residents of Columbia and Green counties. Several positions are now available to youth between the age of 14 and 20 and currently enrolled in school, including outdoor projects, which will run from July 6th to August 4th. Many of the positions are being modified to conform to COVID-19 guidelines and regulations. Interested students may download the application at ColumbiaGreenWorks.com and follow the directions for submission. Information is available at 518-828-4181, extension 3108. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather. It is Thursday, May 21st. The day starts out in the mid-40s and climbs all the way to 76 by 4 p.m. Light breeze and low cloud cover will leave us with a pleasant day. Remember, sun protection if going out. Overnight temperatures reach the lower 50s by dawn. Tomorrow morning will be a bit sticky with high humidity. A high of 78 occurs about 4 p.m. Then, near dark, light rain will enter the area as the region begins to cool and gets stronger during the day on Saturday, bringing the chance for thunder with it. Sunday will be nice, and it is still looking good for outdoor plants. The lowest low in the next 10 days will be 40 degrees. Pollen levels will be in the medium-high ranges with a break coming Saturday afternoon. The next high tides will be at 3:10 p.m. and tomorrow at 3:17 a.m. The next low tides will be at 9:28 a.m. and at 9:24 p.m. Water temperature will be 64 degrees today. Sunset today will be at 7:56 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see a southern coronal hole will allow its plasma to graze our planet on the 22nd. Two near-Earth objects are expected today, the largest of which is 892 meters wide and contains enough energy to wipe out a continent. Fortunately, it will be just swinging on by. Solar wind speed is currently 343 kilometers per second at 6.1 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. There have been 19 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
From the WGXC, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grand. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Chief Justice Janet DeFiore and Chief Administrative Judge Lawrence Marks announced this week that in-person courthouse operations will resume in Columbia and Greene counties and remainder of the Capital Region on Tuesday, May 26. Courthouse areas that will be used in Phase 1 include judges' chambers, clerks' offices, and back offices. Physical distancing and other steps restricting courthouse traffic will be enforced. Anyone entering the courthouse will be required to wear a mask, and all staff who interact with visitors will likewise be required to wear a mask. Court visitors will be required to undergo COVID-19 screening before entering, and court facilities will be regularly sanitized. You can read this story at MidHudsonNews.com. Morgan McKay is reporting for State of Politics. The New York Farm Bureau launched an online database to help connect farmers looking for laborers with people in need for work. The Bureau wrote, and I quote, "During this time of uncertainty, farms may temporarily be down some employees who may have to quarantine due to the virus or to take care of sick family members. This could potentially create issues on the farm, especially when livestock need to be cared for or during a critical time of the growing season," end quote. The database is intended to be a recruiting resource. It will be the responsibility of each farm to interview and hire employees, but people who are looking for agricultural work and willing to work on a farm are encouraged to apply. In its May 19th press release, the Bureau wrote, "It is, and I quote, encouraging all farms to continue to take this pandemic seriously, follow all of the recommended safety guidance and protocols," end quote. And you can read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. The Poughkeepsie Journal is reporting law enforcement in the region and statewide over the Memorial Day weekend will engage in a stop DWI crackdown on drunk, impaired, and reckless driving. Crackdown runs from Friday, May 22nd through Tuesday, May 26th, and will include both state and local police. Over the 2019 Memorial Day weekend, 225 people were arrested on drinking and driving charges, with nearly 14,000 tickets issued. There were also 134 crashes that resulted in personal injury, including 4 deaths. The campaign will involve increased patrol, with police using marked and unmarked vehicles and sobriety checkpoints. The state police have reported issuing more speeding tickets during the COVID-19 pandemic. Bars and restaurants remain closed to sit-down service, and locally, residents are still being encouraged to stay home and observe social distancing protocols whenever possible. Community gatherings characteristic of the Memorial Day weekend, such as cookouts involving more than 10 people, have also been banned. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Mirele Stephanie. Je m'appelle Stephanie. My name is Stephanie.
Mirele Stephanie. Mirele Radio WGS C90.7 FM Ika.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter, Executive Director of Wave Farm. Our programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC sustaining supporters who provide critical monthly support to keep WGXC 90.7 FM on the air. Thank you for listening.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of LOVID. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm AJ. I live in Elizabeth. I go to school at Libri.
I'm Lena. I am from Hudson. I go to school at MC Smith, maybe middle school.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Lena. Bookish things.
And we're usually here with our friends Amelia and Mashuda and sometimes Fahim. But I know at least Amelia and Mashuda have a test today. So even though school is not, it doesn't have their doors open, they're still testing. So we wish them luck. We're going to send out all of our good test vibes to them right now. Zoom, 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 zoom. I hope I sent the good ones. Otherwise, they'll be mad. Anyways, we'll look forward to talking with them next week. And hopefully with that test under their belt, they'll have more time to read some good books.
Well, shouldn't they supposed to be reading for the test?
They might be reading a textbook. It was I think it was their environmental science class.
Then they get to read about science. Yay! Ooh.
Do you like reading about science?
Meh.
I see Lena shaking her head. I like some science reading.
Only if it's comic books with made up people.
I feel like when it's written for people that aren't scientists, I enjoy it. When it's written for a scientific audience, I'm less into it. Because it sometimes gets into a little too much detail, more than I want.
Yeah.
But when it's written for us non-sciencey people. Maybe you're sciencey though. Do you identify as sciencey?
No.
What about you, AJ?
No.
Are you a scientist?
Only in the science of food, otherwise, nada! Either the science of food or lions, cheetahs, and tigers and stuff.
Oh, learning about animals?
And food!
And food. Yeah, I like food science. Do you know what other science I like?
What?
Library science.
I knew you were gonna say something like book science.
Is library science even a thing?
No.
Yes,
it's just book science.
No, library science. Library and information science. That's what my master's degree is in.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It's so I'm a master of science. Mm-hmm.
No, you aren't.
A particular brand of science. I'm a master. Anyways, let's talk about some books. Speaking of book science.
Yay.
Who wants to start?
Can I?
Yes.
I want to talk about the book Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and, well, actually all the Harry Potter series, I read 1 through 4 over and over and over and over.
When did you first read it? Recently or a long time ago?
Long time ago. I love Harry Potter.
And did you stop reading at 5 for a certain reason?
Well, I don't have the book.
Oh, that's a good reason. Do you want to read more?
Well, I know what the 5th book is. The 5th book was a library rent, but I want the 6th book mm-hmm. and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, Half-Blood Prince. I have to look that up.
So I think most of our listeners probably know what they're about, but could you tell us what you like about them?
Well, I'll give a summary of the background story. So,
yeah, for anyone living under a rock out there.
Very funny. So, as I was saying, Harry Potter is a wizard, but he doesn't know it because he defeated He Who Must Not Be Named Lord Voldemort. Don't kill me, Harry Potter fans, for saying that! And, well, He Who Must Not Be Named, or You Know Who, is not a, he's a very bad wizard, but Harry doesn't even know that until he's 11 because he lives with the Muggles, what wizard people call non-wizard folks. And then he has a bunch of adventures with his friends at Hogwarts, the wizard boarding school. They do get released in the summer, though. What's school like without summer vacation?
But Harry would probably rather just stay at school all year.
Yes.
He doesn't have a very fun summer.
Because he lives with not that nice at all.
Dursleys.
So he still goes to school even though the coronavirus is a thing.
No, they would probably have magical wizard so they could appear in each other's fireplaces or something like that.
They could also probably just do a protective spell over the school and then just keep outsiders out of the school.
And them also.
So what do you like about Harry Potter?
Well, I especially like the beginning of the first book because I just like how he's living his normal life, getting bullied. But then this is a quote of Hagrid, the gamekeeper at Hogwarts. Harry, you're a wizard. I can't do very good impersonations, but hey. Harry, you're a wizard. And he's like, what the?
Is that a direct quote?
No. I would have said if it was.
Yeah, so you like the call to adventure, the realization that he's something special. Yeah. Have you read those books, Lena?
I read book one and then lost interest.
How can you lose interest?
Because, so I got the big book version where it was, like, super big.
Oh, I have that version. I have two of them, actually.
Yeah, I lost, like, interest because of, like, the first four pages, my head started hurting.
Oh.
So, like, I think I...
Did you read that in the dark?
No, I read that in class when it was reading time. Well, in my free time, because I actually kept up with my work or actually could do it because my teacher gives me too much work.
Oh, ho, ho.
I read all of them.
Did you read it recently? What? No. Lucky.
They're so good.
Well, you have that advantage because you work at the library.
Well, it was before I worked at the library, though.
Now you can reread them without having to loan it.
Well, I have my own copies at home.
Do people even pay for library books?
Do they pay for them? No, they're free to borrow. You only pay for them if you lose them.
Can you pay to keep them if you want to?
I mean, I guess, but...
Then I don't want to return them so that I have to pay for them so that I keep them. Yay!
Although, it would be cheaper to buy them, and then you'd get a fresh copy. But I love that series, and I didn't read it for a while when it first came out. I didn't think it was going to be a series that I liked because it seemed like it was meant for kids, and I'm not a kid.
easiest way to say that.
Yeah. But then I started listening to the audiobooks when I had a long commute, because I had an hour commute each day at one point in my life. And I listened to it, and I think at that point, there's 7 books, right, for the original series?
Well, for the original, I think there's 7, but then they add a couple of new ones, like the 8th and 9th book, because...
The Cursed Child.
This is spoiler alert! Just ahead... In the end, Harry marries someone that is completely different than what I would have expected.
But yeah, so I listened to them on audio, and I listened to the first 6 leading up to the release of the 7th one. And so by the time the 7th one came out, I was ready for it. And it was so good. The only thing I didn't love was I wasn't that into Quidditch. Which I know a lot of people are into Quidditch, but...
I love Quidditch. Do you know that people actually play Quidditch? For real?
I do know that. It looks kind of silly, but it's probably really fun.
What's Quidditch?
Yeah, Quidditch is a game where... Well, here's the way that it goes. So everyone fly on broomsticks. There's the beaters, the chasers, the keepers, and the seekers. The beaters are the ones that keep small, as you could say, aggressive balls from running into the other players with bats, and the keepers block the quaffle, which earns 10 points from going in the goal from the other team, and the quaffle is used to score 10 points anytime that it goes in through the hoop for the other team, and those are the chasers, I think, and the seekers go after the golden snitch, which earns an extra 150 points, so they nearly always win unless they have 1,000 and you have 150 points.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
And it's usually in the books and the movies, it's played while they're flying on brooms. And like special brooms. But in real life, when people play it, they just run around. And often the golden snitch is a person when it's played in real life.
Ouch! And the bludgers are real people. Ouch!
Yeah, I don't know.
The quaffles are real people. Ouch! I bet the quaffles are actually regular balls because, sorry, but the quaffles are real balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Regular balls in the actual game of Quidditch in Harry Potter world. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Harry Potter world and I want to live at Hogwarts. I think it would be nice meeting Albus Dumbledore. I would so want to be in Gryffindor.
Okay, so for some reason, I feel like all the Harry Potter fans are going to come at me.
But, why?
But I didn't like Harry Potter. I didn't even finish reading the first book. And I fell asleep during all the movies. And I didn't like the movies.
I love the movies. They're especially good with a little bit of popcorn. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Maybe you just didn't have good enough popcorn, Lena. Did you ever think of that?
No, maybe. We have the best popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Well, then maybe you didn't have enough seasoning.
No, it has enough tahini and chamoy.
Wow.
And why don't you put on some butter?
I think we put on, like, some of that butter. Well, we made it.
And put on extra salt and stuff. You can put on all the seasonings in the world. You had to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have fallen asleep, including cayenne pepper, so that you would stay awake.
No, my whole entire family, including me, ate the popcorn, like, all the popcorn, like, that we had in the popcorn maker thing.
I love popcorn. You're making me hungry. But that's okay. I think it's okay to not like Harry Potter, even though it's the best thing ever. But it also gets better after the first book, I think. That's probably my least favorite of the books. But whatever. It's okay. I still like you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I know you were nervous.
Lena!
Yes.
Come on. Admit to the Harry Potter fans again that you do not like it. Otherwise, they will come after you.
Fine. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. But, like, personally, I didn't like it because, to me, it was boring. And also, I was, like, a five-year-old who wanted to watch, like, Sophia the First. Like,
why don't you start it now?
No, I started reading the books.
Movies, I mean, not the books.
Okay. Thank you for sparing me from the books.
So, Lena, do you have a book you want to talk about?
Yes. It's called TBH, This Is So Awkward. And so, I'm going to read the back for you. Cecily, Panrika, and Gabby, CPG, forever, have been BFFAE since birth. So they'd rather chat about life and their first boy-girl party without the new girl texting them all the time. They aren't exactly mean to her, but they aren't exactly nice. To be honest, mistakes are made. The emoji. The question is, where do they go from here? And then under that is like a texting of them like, craving more CPG forever. And then they show the next three books and then the response is XOXO. Seriously, I don't know how Lisa does it. So that's what the book is about.
And this is in a series, right?
This is a series.
Yes. And it's the first book?
Yeah, this is the first book, hopefully, because then I've been reading like the wrong book. No, this is the first book.
Have you read any of the other ones?
No, we got this at Barnes & Noble's, and the closest one is in Kingston.
I bet if you wanted to get another one, you could order it through Spotty Dog. Just saying. Or the library once we're able to lend stuff again.
Oh, Spotty Dog orders? Oh my God. I think I might have to actually consider that.
I'm just saying, you don't have to go to Kingston.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what do you like about that book?
So I like how it's, like, personally, like, so relatable because, like, they're, like, talking about life and the struggles of, I think, their sixth grade. I can't relate about that because I'm a fourth grader.
but you can still relate to some of it.
Yeah, and also, like, I can relate because, like, okay, so no one can tell my teachers about this, but...
they might be listening. This is out on the radio.
No, get off my teachers. Okay, so I bring my phone to school, but I don't use it. Well, I use it in the bathroom sometimes to call my sister to tell me to pick me up because, like, I don't want to be an ASP, but, like, don't tell on me if you're one of my ASP counselors. I put it in my bag because, like, the rule is, like, if you have it for, like, more than 1 second, then you get called home. You get, like, a day off, which personally they should change that rule because, like, no one likes ASP, but, like, yeah.
Only for more than 1 second, they should make it more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's their way of saying don't take your phone out.
Well, any electronics, actually. Like, I'm jealous of my big sister and brother because they actually got to have their electronics out, but that was because, like, electronics were, like, actually a thing.
Then why don't you say to them, or teachers if you're listening, why don't you say, what if I only use it to help myself study? For example, what if I use it to review my notes, or what if I use it to jot something down, or what if I use it for calculators or stuff?
No, like, I don't think that's, like, what teachers would let you do. I don't think they would let you get away with that.
If you ever ride the bus there, maybe you can do it on the bus until you get there.
Usually I listen to music.
You're lucky that you even have a phone.
Yeah. So I listen to music on my way to the bus. There's this dumb rule that the school created where you're not allowed to have books or your phone out because apparently you're taking too long. And, like,
no books? That's crazy.
Yeah, like, I know, like, they should be supporting us actually learning. Because, like, half of the times, like...
I'm gonna report to the president.
Yeah. Like, they should actually let us have books out, like, phones. I get it. But, like, it's because we're taking too long in breakfast. And, like, in breakfast, you're supposed to, like, be able to chat with your friends. Or, like, eat. Or, like, chat with your friends or, like, do whatever you want before you're not able to have your phones out, books out. But, like, we're allowed to bring anything out when we're outside. Which, personally, I think that rule should change because, like, people are being reckless with the things that they bring out. For example, person brings out a toy, it gets stolen. But that doesn't happen in the cafeteria because it's not like we have, like, half of the school inside of it. Actually, we do. So, like, what I'm trying to say is that there are clumps of people outside.
In that book, it's written all in, like, text?
Yeah. It's
the whole book? Is it all text or are there emails or anything else?
It's like, there are emails and there are also notes. Like, I can show you guys, like, not the listeners.
Maybe you can read a bit, too.
It says, oh, Gabs, I'm so mad we aren't reading lab partners this semester. I'm stuck with Talon Corbett. I know, Pri. I think Miss Marburn split us up on purpose. Unfair. XOXO. Gabs. And this
so, like, they're sharing notes in class.
Yeah. The next email is, hi, girls. I'm Miss Pine Lily's computer lab right now, and we're learning how to get our notes and homework off of the new school system they installed over break. You know what it's called, Sinesta. So fancy. But, of course, I took a break to email you guys. I love you. Write back ASAP or text or see you on the bus. XOXO forever, Gabs. Dear myself, hi, Paprinka. How are you? I'm good, Paprinka. Nice to hear from you. Haha, I cracked myself up. Okay, time for New Year's resolutions. Basically, my New Year's resolutions is to make my bed every day, to clean so many laundries and freak, and pretty much be the most awesome girl on the grid. Love, Paprika.
That's a big goal. Be the most awesome girl in the grade.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that. I think I'm on this page.
That looks fun.
Yeah.
I recently listened to an audiobook, which I guess is technically an audiobook. It's interesting because I don't think it's ever been released as a book, but it's an audio story. So I think it counts as an audiobook. I don't know. Does it have to be a book first to be an audiobook? I don't know. But it's an audio play with multiple cast members doing the different voices, and it's all told through phone calls and voice messages. And the characters are a daughter in her, I think she's either upper 20s or young 30s, and she's living in California, and then her parents who live in Delhi, India. And a big part of it is the mother is very invested in her daughter getting married and finding a husband for her daughter. But then once her daughter finds a nice Indian boy that she wants to marry, her mom all of a sudden gets very nervous and she thinks he has ill intentions, even though she's never met him. And there's like this old story that is tied in from her mom's past and her past. And it's a real thriller and it's really exciting. But it's all told through messages, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like my book.
Mm-hmm. That's what made me think of it. Mm-hmm. It's different because instead of like written notes or messages, it's all sound, but similar idea. Have you ever read any books like that, AJ, that are told through diary entries or letters or?
Well, I have a book that's actually half and half.
Oh, yeah?
But do you mind if I don't share?
Yeah, that's fine. There's a series that I really liked called The Popularity Papers by Amy Ignatow, who is actually supposed to come to the book fest this year, and I was excited to meet her, but then it got canceled. And I've actually only read the first book in the series, I think. So the full title is The Popularity Papers, Research for the Social Improvement and General Betterment of Lydia Goldblatt and Julia Graham Chang. I'll just read you the description, because I haven't read it in many years. Lydia Goldblatt and Julie Graham Chang are best friends with one goal, to crack the code of popularity. Lydia is the bold one, aspiring theater star, stick-fighting enthusiast, human guinea pig. Julie's the shy one, observer and artist, accidental field hockey star, faithful recorder. In this notebook, they write down their observations and carry out experiments to try to determine what makes the popular girls tick. But somehow, when Lydia and Julie try to imitate the popular girls, their efforts don't translate into instant popularity. Lydia ends up with a bald spot, their parents won't stop yelling, and Julie finds herself the number one crush of Roland Asbjornsen. Worse, they seem to be drifting farther and farther from their goal and each other. And so it's a book that's all told through this notebook that they keep together, kind of detailing their experiments and the results of their experiments. And if I'm remembering correctly, one of them writes all of the entries and one of them's the artist and like does all the drawings for it. But it's really fun and sounds similar to TBH in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never read the other ones. Looks like there's at least 5 books in the series. No, 6. 7. Whoa, they keep going. I'm really behind. There's as many books as Harry Potter's. Not as long, though, or as epic, as far as I know. But I haven't read them.
So, Emily, so when you said that they're going, like, they're drifting farther apart from, like, each other and their goal, that just reminded me of, like, a part of my book. It's not really a big spoiler. Well, it's not really a spoiler at all. So, one of the characters is moving and they try their best to, like, stay together.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
So, in the TBH series, it turns out that there are at least 4 books. And I'm checking it out right now, and I want to buy the first one.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to read some more of those. Could be fun. And maybe I'll read Popularity Papers, part 2.
Ooh.
But I wonder, it'll be interesting. I should try it and see if I'm able to dive in. Because I read that so long ago that I don't know how much I remember. But maybe it'll all come back to me, because sometimes that's how it works. Yeah, it looks like it came out in 2010. I think I read it when it first came out, so. It's been 10 years since I read the first one. See how good my memory is. We'll test it. Anyways, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
But we hope everyone out there listening has a wonderful week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And hopefully we'll have our nice friends, Amelia and Mashuda, with us. And maybe Fahim, too. Also a nice friend.
Yeah.
But have a great week. Happy reading.
Goodbye. Balançou teu coreto. Eu prometi não estremecer mais. Teu coração já nos provou não ter sustento pra suportar a erupção de uma voz incandescente como as lavas de um vulcão. Mas você petrificou.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 21st, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump Wednesday threatened to halt federal funding to Michigan and Nevada over the distribution of absentee ballots in those states amid the ongoing coronavirus outbreak that has left more than 90,000 Americans dead. That from AOL. Both Michigan and Nevada are considered potential swing states in November. AOL notes that Trump's threat to halt the funding was issued hours after floods forced the evacuation of about 10,000 people in central Michigan. He did not specify what kinds of federal aid he would stop, or did he cite a legal basis for the action. Meantime, word that Ohio groups trying to put ballot measures before voters in November will not have to go door-to-door looking for support.
A federal judge ruled this week that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the state must allow petition signatures to be gathered electronically and push the collection deadline back to July 31st. Tony Webb is with Ohioans for Secure and Fair Elections, which is pursuing a package of voting law changes. She says the risk of spreading coronavirus has hampered the campaign's efforts.
Because that would create a health risk to the signature collectors and to the potential signers, the only way that we could really show the amount of grassroots support we needed to get access to the ballot would be to go online, where folks are right now, and give them the opportunity to sign our petition via an electronic method.
However, Secretary of State Frank LaRose plans to appeal the decision. A spokeswoman told reporters the petition requirements set in the Ohio Constitution and decisions on changing them belong to the General Assembly and the people. Mary Sherman reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
And you may equate religious activism with heavy topics like abortion, but various church leaders in Wisconsin are now calling on Congress to take more action for those affected by the pandemic. Here's Mike Mullen.
Some of the stimulus money set aside by federal lawmakers has gone to churches impacted by the economic downturn. In Wisconsin, there's been a push by some faith leaders for Congress to ensure that any more stimulus funding not necessarily go to churches, but for people still struggling to get by. The Reverend Kerry Parker of the Wisconsin Council of Churches says it's not about stoking political tension, but rather seeking institutional change.
It's not quite as visible as these major efforts that you see in other places, but nevertheless, we're there all the time trying to work for change that'll benefit the most vulnerable people among us.
The group Parker leads includes more than 30 member churches from various denominations across the state. The council says Congress should authorize more stimulus funding that can help state governments avoid steep budget cuts while helping vulnerable residents deal with key expenses.
This is PNS. As the nation shifts from pause to go, The Guardian reports forecasts from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business model predicts COVID-19 cases will reach 5.4 million and a death toll in the U.S. could be 290,000 by July the 24th. That if states fully reopen without any social distancing measures. In comparison, the model predicts nearly 230,000 deaths by the same date, July 24th, if states reopen, but individuals do maintain their social distancing efforts. While cases of coronavirus going down in Washington State, our Eric Tegedoff reports, racial disparities increasingly are being laid bare.
According to the Washington State Department of Health, white people are 68% of the state's population, but make up 43% of cases. Meanwhile, 13% of the state is Hispanic, but they represent 36% of cases. African Americans are 4% of the population, but 7% of cases. Sarah Bekele with the Seattle-based Economic Opportunity Institute says essential workers disproportionately are people of color, faced with greater economic insecurity.
They actually face quite a grim choice, either to expose themselves daily to the virus, or to lose their job and their ability to meet their needs and pay for a roof over their head.
Bekele says structural racism is a major reason people of color are more likely to be exposed to and contract the virus.
Reports of anti-Asian discrimination have risen during the pandemic. Korean-American novelist J.S. Lee says it has been incredibly upsetting to see the rise in anti-Asian violence.
The attacks, including young children and elderly folks, are highly disturbing. Even here in a very diverse city in the Bay Area, I've been told to go back to China. I can handle the ignorant taunts, but you never know if it's going to turn violent.
And finally, Roz Brown tells us the Texas oyster industry has struggled in recent years because of overfishing, hurricanes, and floods, but a new program could be a boon for consumers and the Gulf economy.
The Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission will vote today to adopt rules that govern how people are allowed to grow oysters in cages in state waters. Lance Robinson heads the agency's Coastal Fisheries Division and says many states have practiced oyster mariculture for decades. He says he believes both consumers and the Texas economy will benefit.
It creates another avenue for individuals who want to be in the commercial seafood industry, another way to produce that seafood product that really is destined for a very unique market, high demand, high dollar market.
I'm Roz Brown.
Texas was the last remaining Gulf of Mexico state that did not allow oyster mariculture until 2019. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We're member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello, all.
This is Michelle Masurgeon, and my guest today is Christian Garamone with the Albany chapter of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Welcome, Christian.
Thank you so much for allotting me this time this morning.
A lot of housing advocates have been pushing to cancel the rent since mid-March, as folks have lost their jobs and businesses started shutting down during the pandemic. And the federal government and most states responded by implementing temporary eviction moratoriums only for non-rent payment. So why are these temporary eviction moratoriums not sufficient to keep housing stable for people?
Right. So the issue with the rent moratoriums is that as soon as they lift the moratorium, all back rent's going to be owed. So all these people who are living in precarity, who are unemployed right now due to the pandemic, all of their rent's going to come due as soon as they lift this. It's a temporary measure. And all it does is keep people housed in for uncertain terms. In New York, for example, likely till the middle of June, maybe August, depending if they can argue that their lack of income is related to the pandemic. But so if we cancel the rents, all these people, the back rents go away. They will be able to start paying as soon as they start getting income again. They won't owe all this back rent.
So talk about what's going to be happening on Saturday, May 30th. What's the message of this protest?
Gotcha. So on Saturday, May 30th, we are going to be meeting at the Albany High School parking lot at noon. We're a part of a nationwide protest calling for a national cancellation of all rents, mortgages for homeowners, small landlords, and small businesses for the duration of the pandemic. So we're going to be holding a small rally, observing all social distancing and PPE requirements in the parking lot. And then we're going to having a car caravan where we drive through working class neighborhoods in Albany, rallying support and organizing the people to demand better and to demand that they are stably housed for the duration of the pandemic.
What's the message? What are you trying to tell the federal government? What would you like them to do?
We would like them to cancel the rents. We would like them to take the side of the people, to put people over profits, and to make sure that this pandemic doesn't just come back to life as soon as these eviction moratoriums are up, leading to widespread houselessness. We want people to remain housed. We want people to be able to continue living with dignity.
So are you asking the federal government to continue with stimulus payments and preserve the expanded unemployment benefit?
Yes, we are asking the federal government to continue with the stimulus, to continue with the expanded unemployment benefits. The pandemic is still, we're still in the middle of it. 37 million people have lost their jobs since March. We're in the worst depression since the 1930s, and it's only getting worse. We demand that the government continue and increase the benefits that they're giving. We demand that they cancel the rent, which is something that they have not done yet, and they need to do.
So if they don't do that and folks get evicted, where are they going?
Right. They have nowhere to go. The only option for people, if they are made houseless by this pandemic and they're all evicted once the moratorium's up, is to go to DSS. And DSS is already overloaded with cases. They are placing people in shelters, and shelters are not conducive to protecting people in the midst of a pandemic. People can't socially distance in shelters, and it's just not how this should go. And particularly in the Albany area, the crisis is hitting hard. Over 60% of Albany residents are renters, nearly double the national average. 45% of Albany renters spend over 35% of their income on the rent. The median rent in Albany is $896 per month, which requires a household income of $36,000 to be affordable. However, the median income for Albany renters is only $29,000. Albany residents are at a constant risk of homelessness in ordinary time. This pandemic is going to push thousands of people over the edge and into houselessness. So that's why we're seeking to organize, to come together and demand that the federal government and the state government protect the people, put the people first, and cancel the rent.
What about undocumented and the homeless?
Right.
Because I also understand that Republicans have vowed not to redo the extra unemployment money when it comes up again for a vote in July. And a lot of states are running out of funding, you know, to make up their share of, you know, all these lost funding. So, I mean, is DSS going to have enough money? You know, how are these undocumented and homeless people going to make
it? Right. So we're demanding that all undocumented people are given full access, full rights. The dichotomy between undocumented and citizen is an evil one, and it's pernicious and one that needs to be done away with. Homeless people and homeless undocumented people need to be placed in vacant housing units and vacant hotel rooms for the duration of this pandemic. The government has the ability to seize these properties to make use of vacant housing units, and they need to do that. People should not be houseless at any time, let alone during the midst of a pandemic where it is even more dangerous to be houseless.
So the federal government over the last 20 years has been decreasing funding for even public housing, and public housing right now is really old and needs funding just to keep itself in shape. What do you think is going to happen down the road?
For sure. No, that's definitely been the trend. What we're trying to do is organize to stop that trend, right? We're trying to develop class consciousness in, amongst the people, to organize and demand more, to demand that the federal government and state governments put money into housing, put money into public housing, and that we actually house all the people. The working class is the essential class. We are the class that keeps the country moving. Since the start of the pandemic, the federal government has pumped at least $5 trillion into big banks and large corporations. So the money is there. The government can invest this money. They have not been made to. They are beholden to the ruling class. What we need to do is organize, come together and unite and make sure that they are beholden to us, that the government serves us as the people, and that they have the ability to provide shelter for all of us.
So are you looking to say that housing is a right and to kind of decommodify housing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of our core beliefs, is that commodification of housing is a heinous, it's a crime, it's immoral, and that we need to be housing everyone, and that the government has the ability to do that, and they are choosing not to because they align themselves with the capitalists who make money off of our need for housing. They exploit our every need, and we seek to put an end to that.
So we're going to have to wrap it up here. Do you have anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this economic crisis has revealed that behind the facade of democracy, the United States is a dictatorship of the capitalist class. The contradictions of capitalism are becoming more apparent as we head into our third month of quarantine. The essential workers in Albany, or those whose backs the ruling class stomps on, are still at work, keeping the city alive while capital sits and reaps the benefits. This, however, is not good enough. Cuomo and the Albany lawmakers have gotten their orders. They are putting plans in place to reopen the entire economy. The populations who are dying from this pandemic, the populations who are going to continue dying at even greater rates if the ruling class gets its way, are the same populations whose lives have consistently and constantly been sacrificed to grease the wheels of U.S. capitalism as imperialism, Black and Indigenous people. As soon as the numbers came out about who were dying in this pandemic, the governments have rapidly increased the rate at which they seek to reopen the economy. That's why we are demanding that the government put the people first, that the government cares about, that we as a working class come together to protect our Black and Indigenous brothers and sisters, and that we as a working class demand that they cancel the rents and ensure that we can stay safe.
Christian, where can folks get more information?
So if people are looking for more information, they can go to cancelthe.rents.org. That's R-E-N-T-S.org. Or they can view our party's website at pslweb.org.
And the information for the car caravan protest on Saturday, May 30th will be on that website?
Yes, that'll be on cancelthe.rents.org.
Okay, very good. Well, Christian, I thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
And this is Michelle Masurgeon for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
Flesh of thee, cast aside and set you free. Oh, death, oh, death, can't you spare me over till another year? Oh, death, oh, death.
can't talk, stiffen their legs so they can't walk, close their eyes so they can't see the chill.